Let's leave our Bibles open there to the book of Mark, and we'll look at a few things beforehand as we continue in this theme for this year, or this quarter, I should say, of looking at missions. Amen? And so you're going to be in Mark in chapter 4. Hold your place there, if you will, here this morning. And the verse that I closed with last week, we're going to open with that just by way of the screen, just on the screen. Hosea 10, verse 12. Stay in Mark 4. Don't worry about it. Turn to Hosea. It'd probably take you 10 minutes to find it for some of us. Amen. And but Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." So last week, we closed our sermon with this particular verse. We made mention of fallow ground, which is soil that had once produced fruit, that once had a crop, that once had a harvest at one time, but has laid desolate for quite some time, untouched, and is in dire need of being broken up, turned over, rocks removed, and softened to be made ready for sowers to sow. This is where our generation is located today. And beloved, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. Don't be so fooled by everything or anyone who calls themselves a Christian. The deception of our land today amongst most people is that we are all okay. I'm okay, you're okay, or we're all going to heaven. Let's just come together and celebrate. And that is a delusion, if you will. I was told one time by a dear friend of mine after the funeral of his grandfather that he had made the comment, and he said, "Well, at least we know he's in a better place. At least we know he's in heaven." And the vicar was stood there with him and his brother. And the vicar, you know, him and his dog collar, okay, with a pint in his hand, decided to look over at this young man and say, "Well, we really don't all know. We really don't know whether or not someone's going to heaven. We just don't know for sure now, do we? Are you crazy? Where is your faith? Your faith was in his high church. His faith is in his cardinals and his bishops. His faith is not in the Word of God." Amen. You see, all the while we have in our world today a hardened soil. Seeds have fallen by the wayside, or they've fallen upon stony ground, or they have been mixed in with thorns. When it grows up, it chokes and it makes Christ of none effect. And generation after generation after generation, we find that ground just lies desolate. You must break up our fallow ground. We must sow in tears and reap in joy. Time is short, the day is at hand. The Lord, we heard for 3 weeks, the Lord said, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Amen. The days and times of yesteryear are gone as the generation before us lived off the blessings of revivals and evangelism of the generation before them, and they had not such an opportunity that in their own generation they took not the opportunity to continue to sow the seeds, but rather just reap the harvest. And the ground of our land has become fallow. It has become untouched, unmoved, and hardened, if you will. It is the result of an unwilling generation to go into the depths of the soil of their surrounding. And false teaching within the so-called churches are the majority today. Beloved, very little truth is preached from pulpits today, but rather encouragement to remain in your same spiritual state, but improve your life emotionally and mentally. Much of what is called preaching today is nothing more than a social gospel. And I say that if we give a man a warm blanket and not the gospel, if we give a woman a nice meal and not the path of eternal life, if we give a child a toy to play with and he or she never hears the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we have failed our generation and we have ushered a society of souls into a devil's hell. We're not here today to make the world a better place to die and go to hell in. We are here today to sow the seeds of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to break up our fallow ground, to turn it over and plant those seeds that God may bring the increase. Now, soils are different, beloved. I want to give you an encouragement word on this part today. Some climates, especially spiritually speaking, are more conducive to the reception of the Word of God, and the same is true in the opposite. There are certain countries in our world today that you could go and you could say, listen, I'm going to preach a gospel meeting at such and such Baptist church and invite everybody that you can. And you will pack that place out so quick it'd make your head turn, amen. And you could preach literally for hours on end as long as it was slowly and clearly, and they would just sit there and soak it up. I remember my first mission trip down to Guyana, something that we are looking to plan for next year, and we'll talk about that a little later on. My first mission trip down there in 2005, we saw 150 people saved and born again, new churches planted over the next 4 years. 2009, went back, we saw 200 souls saved. Many of the people that were working and now preaching were souls who got saved 4 years prior, amen. The soil is ready. It's primed to receive the Word of God. But my friend, our ground is fallow today. But I want you to be encouraged this morning that just because ground is fallow does not mean it is of no good use. Soils differ, yes they do. But the soils are no different than some seeds. Some plants will germinate and begin to render growth in as little as 14 to 21 days. Plants such as okra and parsley and lima beans and carrots, I mean, they begin to render growth almost immediately, it seems. But there's some plants, such as a water locust, that can remain dormant for long periods of time. In Manchuria, as a matter of fact, they have found buried under peat and dirt, with their seeds having a viability period of 400 to 2,000 years. So we must not be moved today if the seeds that are underneath the ground in our country this morning, in our fallow ground of our land area, we need to understand that dormant does not equal death, amen. Being dormant does not equal death, and we need to understand that today. We're looking in Mark in chapter 4, and we won't reread the verses, but we will come back to them. As Andy had read this morning, we see the four soils mentioned in the parable, and the Lord reveals to us what these soils are, as well as what the seed is to be. The soils are the souls of men, women, and children, and the seed is the Word of God. And the first soil that we find here, Mark chapter 4 and verse 4, is known as wayside hearers. The Bible says in Mark 4, 4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now, guys, we need to notice at any time as we go through our land, as we go through our community, as we go through our village, our cities, our towns, and all throughout the area, there are going to be wayside sowing of the gospel. If you are going to be a sower of the seed of the Word of God, and everyone in here should be, must be, because you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of why you have not. If you're going to sow the seed of the Word of God, you're going to find out that there's going to be some that will fall by the wayside. It's just part of life. And every time that you find a wayside sowing of the gospel, there are always going to be fowls involved. Fowls in Scripture are related to, or they are types of devils or Satan. In verse 15, Jesus clarifies this, saying, "And these are they that by the wayside, where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." These poor souls, guys, would have heard the word of God. They would have tasted the word of God. They would have taken it on, but as it is sowed, Satan's orders to his demons, or he himself comes and devours up the word from them. You say, how does this happen? Happens through distractions. Do you know one of the reasons that I put that up, that slide up there that says, please silence your phone? Do you know what the devil will do? The devil has and will do, and the prince and power of the air will make sure at that right prime time moment when the seed of the Word of God is beginning to rest on the heart of a man or a woman or a child, when conviction is set in and that seed is set right there on the top of that fallow ground that has just been broken up, he'll make that phone go off. Oh, preacher, you're just an old foolish preacher. Am I really? Let me ask you a question of how many times you've gone to prayer and distractions have come your way. How many times have you knelt by your bedside and you started to pray and all of a sudden sleep began to become part of your life? Flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen. We live in a world today that's filled with distractions. How many times has a friend or a neighbor or a family member come and knocked at your door, the Saturday night or made plans and you decided that, well, you know what, I'm not going to go to the house of God tomorrow because my family's here or because of X, Y, and Z. I know I'm harping on the fact of being in church quite a bit lately, and that's just the way it is, amen? But I'm telling you guys, we have got to stop making church a choice. We need to, if you are born again, number one, you should want to be in church. Number two, it should not be an option, amen. Missing church should be the exception from anybody as a child or an adult. That's how you set that in stone in someone's life. Distractions. Satan will send these fowls of distractions into a person's life that is right on the edge of receiving the Word of God, and they'll gobble it right up and take it away. What about difficulties? Now, mind you, difficulties are relative, aren't they? Relative to where you live. I've spoken to some men who walk 8 to 9 miles to church one way, every day, right? We're not going to do that. Let's just call a spade a spade. I've spoken to people that have tried to plant the Word of God into people's lives, and as the seed was being sowed, a marauder of hoarders or Muslims or Islamic forces are coming through slaughtering people. Amen. That's a difficulty, right? So difficulties are rare. They're relative in people's lives. But nonetheless, a difficulty is a difficulty. You sow the seed of the Word of God, you sow the seed of the Word of God upon a heart, and that seed rests upon that heart, and that soul is like, man, I really like how that sounds. Man, that's what I need. And then something difficult comes into their life, and it's gone. Sometimes it's just plain old-fashioned dilemmas. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've sat across the table and I have poured my heart out and I have thrown more seeds at a particular person, and they're at the crossroads, they're at a dilemma, and they got to make a decision for eternal life or a devil's hell. And I cannot explain it today other than taking it from the parable of the sower. They choose to go over here because they like the lifestyle they're living. They like the clubs, they like the women, they like the men, they like the alcohol, they like the floosiness, they like all of this, rather than eternal life with Jesus Christ. I can't explain it other than the dilemma of the fowls of the air. Satan's work is evident. Guys, we are not foolish to his methods. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles comes from a Greek word called methodia. It's the same word that we get methods. First off, we're not foolish to his methods. But you are not going to stand against his methods. You're not going to stand against his wiles without the whole armor of God. You can't just put the helmet of salvation on and run around buck naked and thinking you're going to be safe. That is not going to happen. You're going to have your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, of gospel of peace. You're going to have your loins girt about with truth. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness. You're going to have the shield of faith. And most of all, you better have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, amen, if you're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. He'll bring distractions, difficulties, and dilemmas into people's lives for one single purpose, and that's just to keep them lost. He doesn't care about them. He doesn't care about you. He hates God and everybody that represents God and everything that does. Just wants to keep the souls of men, women, and children lost so that they'll spend eternity in a devil's hell with him. Matthew 22 tells us this, another little illustration. Verses 2 through 5 says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his sons and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. We live in a world today of fallow ground. We live in a world today where people are making light of the things of God, of the things to come. I read an article last night that it's based, the statistics are based on American churches. But again, mankind is mankind. But it said that churches today are becoming overwhelmingly reluctant to hear pastors preach about current prophecy or prophetical events. That their pastors are trying to get up and tie things together with where we are in the end times, and the pews are refusing to hear it. Not only refusing, but getting angry with the man of God. They're making light today of death. 155 plus thousand people die every day. That equates to 1.8 per second that die and go somewhere in eternity. And they make light of it today. They make light of deliverance today. Speaking to one man one time, a devout atheist, been an atheist all his life, hated God, and I couldn't understand how you can hate something you don't believe in, but that was this topic of another day, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to ask you this question, and I'm going to leave you alone. So I'm going to pray for you every single day. I said, I'm going to lift your name up. I'm going to pray for you every day. Ha, 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 ha. He laughs. But I told him this. I said, you know what? Let's just put everything, all the conversation to the side. I said, if you're right, if you're correct in what you believe, that, you know, we came from nothing, we die and we go to nothing. I said, I've lost nothing at all. Oh, but you've lost a lifetime of fun. I said, I'm having the time of my life. Are you kidding me? I said, I'm the happiest person you're around. I mean, I was like, are you kidding me? I said, I love waking up in the morning without headaches and knowing what I did last night. And are you kidding me? I said, if I'm wrong, what have I lost? Lights just go out. There they go. I'm not going to know the difference. Why does it matter? I said, but my friend, if you're wrong, you've lost everything. You live a life of debauchery, and you shake your fist in the face of God. If you've wronged, you lose it all. They make light of deliverance. They make light of the decision that needs to be made for eternal life. They're doing these things because Satan comes when that seed is sown and he pops it up. Our generation today stands with the scoffers that Peter spoke about, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is what happens when Satan devours the seed of the Word of God. Matthew 24, and I understand this is a tribulational text to Israel, but it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. One of the earmarks of the tribulation period is what's called lasciviousness, or utter lawlessness, if you will. The coldness of mankind's heart. Have you ever wondered how a society today can lift up and honor an animal to do everything under the sun. I'm not saying we should abuse animals. Please don't get me wrong. I love animals. But we'll lift up the life and honor the life of an animal, and yet they're willing to see 55 million babies murdered. By the way, if you come to me after church and you give me your opinion on abortion and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you're treading on dangerous soil with me. That's just the shot across the bow. Because if you think you're going to have that conversation, you're going to lose. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Beloved, that is a fallow ground. It just needs to be broken up. It needs to have the rocks removed. It needs to be softened and prepared to receive the Word of God. But this wayside hearers, the fact of the matter is wayside hearers are under the control of Satan. And having become his prey in the workings of this world, that is where they have fallen. And sadly enough to say this morning, out of the four soils that we have to deal with, they're always going to be wayside hearers. Three quick points and I'll be finished this morning. Friends, Satan seeks to reproduce liars. This is why he sends those fowls to gobble up the seed of the Word of God. Jesus Christ said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." We have liars all around us today. We have liars in high positions. We have liars living on the street and everywhere in between. And that is what Satan is doing. He is trying to reproduce liars today. I read another article earlier on this week, a portion of where one of the scientists who had come and tried to establish the idea of evolution, and as he studied evolution out, and as he continued to study all of the men before him, and as he began to look at Darwinism and all of its frailty and all of its failed illusion and delusions that it produced, this is what this scientist came to the conclusion of: a man who was an atheist. He didn't love God. He didn't know God, didn't care to know him. And he said, to believe evolution as it is written is the most preposterous idea ever taught in the world. Here's not a man of God, not a man of the Bible, a man of so-called science. He said, evolution, to believe that something came from nothing is utter preposterous, he said. And it is. But we have Satan who has produced liars throughout this world that teaches evolution as it is fact. And look at what it has given us in this life. Look at what it has produced in our world today. Is our world a better place? No, it's not. You want to teach a group of people that they came from animals? They're going to live like animals. You want to teach a people that they came from nothing. When they die, they're going to go to nothing. They're going to decide they are nothing, and they're going to take their own life. Just exactly what Satan wants to happen. Wayside hearers. He seeks to reproduce liars. Secondly, he seeks for people to remain lost. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan has kept a society of people today in the dark because he only wants them to remain lost. And let me let you on a little secret here this morning. You can be inside a church house every single day of your life and be lost as a billy goat today. If Satan has his way with you, and you sit there and you let your pride swell up and say, "Well, man, I don't want to say anything now. People thought I've been a Christian all my life." Let me tell you something. Before you close it, take the last breath in this life and close your eyes in this life, you better get that squared straight, amen. And it better be according to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, as the Bible says that he is that light that shines into their hearts and brings them out of darkness, amen. That's what it better line up with. Satan don't care if you're a member of the church. Satan don't care if you call yourself a pastor and you're not a... He doesn't care who you are as long as you remain lost. Now, I know that true Christians today, Satan wants to keep you out of church. True Christians today, he wants to keep you out of the Word. True Christians today, he wants to keep you off your knees praying. He wants to keep you from sowing the seed. That's what he wants you to do. But if you're lost this morning, he don't care if you go to church. Matter of fact, he'd love you to go to church so you can be more deluded and more deceived, amen. Guys, understand the simple, Satan knows by now, all right? He knows the end of the story. Understand that? Now, let me see here. Satan, when in the book of Daniel, didn't know the end of the story. Satan over here, all the way back over here in Genesis, didn't know the end of the story. But as soon as this AV, as soon as this Bible was complete, amen, as soon as the revelation of Jesus Christ was penned and put on paper, he knew the end of the story, amen. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's definitely not omnipotent. He can't be in two places at one time. He doesn't know all things. He only knows what God lets him know. But what is in this book today, the perfect, purified Word of God, he knows it all the way from the front and the back, and he knows it better than we do. So his single purpose, now in the beginning over here, his purpose was to break down the family. How did he do that? He attacked the Word of God. Over here in the end, he wants to destroy the family so they'll go to a devil's hell for all eternity. How does he do that? He attacks the Word of God. Nothing's changed. His purpose remains the same. He only wants you to remain lost. And therefore, when that seed is sown, those that fall by the wayside, lest it gets root, lest it sinks down, lest it gets into some ground down in the cracks and takes a root inside of a person's heart and soul, those devils come and they gobble it up. And the Word never had a chance. Only so a poor, precious life will remain lost in this world. Satan wants to reproduce liars. Satan wants people to remain lost. Satan desires to remove life. Luke 9:42, we related to this the other night. Luke 9:42 says, "And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." And I have my own, when he says tear him, I believe that child was ripped open. And my Lord, my Savior, my God, my Creator leaned down and healed that boy and then gave him to his daddy. Satan hates life. Why does Satan hate life? Anybody tell me why? Who gives life? There's one life giver. God himself said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you." There is one life giver in all of creation, in all of the existence of mankind, and it is God. And every life that comes into this world today is a representation of the Creator of all things. We are a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. God is a holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mankind is a representation of God Himself. And there comes a time when you become dead and trespassing your sin, when you get past that age of accountability. Nobody knows the age, nobody knows the hour, nobody knows the time, but it does happen. And once that happens, you become a child of the devil. Amen. He hates life. These are, among other things, the working of Satan. He is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And beloved, if you open up things into your life, being saved or lost this morning, he will devour you and not think twice. You put yourself in situations today, choices, you make decisions today in your life, and he will eat you up and eat you alive. And you know what? He may not take your life, but if you're a Christian today, he will ruin you so bad, spit you back out, so that you're of no good use to the body of Christ. He's vile. Satan is no one to play with. He is not an entertainment. What did God say about Satan over there in the book of Job? Because canst thou put a hook in his jaw and dictate, you know, tell him where to go? Can you treat him like a bird? Can you play with him like a bird? No, you can't. He does this, guys, to produce liars, to people remain lost, and to take life. He does this first by devouring the Word of God from the hearts and the minds of those that would receive it on the wayside. Beloved, in closing, the fact of the matter, we must understand, as heart-wrenching as it may be, there are going to be wayside hearers in our community. There are going to be wayside hearers in our world. There are going to be wayside hearers in our villages, in our towns, in our cities, in our country, and across the world today. Nevertheless, the seed of the gospel, of the Word of God, must be sown. Well, preacher, but if they're just going to be they're going to be wayside, but there's four soils, and you don't know which one is what. There's a purpose, guys. The seed of the Word of God must be sown in spite of wayside hearers. As Paul said in Acts 26, verse 18, he said, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wayside hearers. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Can I encourage you this morning? Yes, there's going to be wayside hearers. And yes, there's fallow ground. And yes, there are dormant seeds that have fallen by the wayside. They have fallen upon stony ground, have been sown amongst the thorns. And there are some that have fallen inside that ground. And as good as it may be, it's fallow and have yet to be turned over. Dormant does not equal death. My friend, God is not finished with our country. He is not finished with our village. He is not finished with our valley. He is not finished with our people, nor is he finished with our generation. Else we would already be taken out of here and be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to sow the seed of the Word of God. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to cover the rest of these soils and understand the promise and the responsibility that we all have in sowing the seed of the precious Word of God in and to those who are around us every single day. So here's my challenge. I'm going to close in prayer. We make sure that we are in stock of gospel tracts. We have a gospel tract, a leaflet, an invitation who tells what our church is on one side, and then on the back side it has the plan of salvation on it. Every one of our leaflets, there's the plan of salvation. It's not just an invitation to a church house. It's an invitation to be eternally saved, sealed, and born again of the blood of Christ. Okay? So here's my challenge to you today. I want you to take five of those leaflets today. All right? Pick whichever ones you want in the track rack in the back or on the shelves. Take five of them today. And your goal over the next 7 days is to get those five out. Now, I don't care if you pass all five of them out tomorrow. I don't care if you say, I'm going to do one a day for 5 days. But there is no way today that you can't get five leaflets out to souls that you come across. Five gospel messages to souls you come across over the next 7 days. There's no way you cannot do that. If you don't do that, you're choosing not to. So that's my challenge, to sow the seed of the Word of God. Now you're going to say this, preacher, are they wayside hearers? I don't know. Are they stony ground hearers? I don't know. Am I going to sow this amongst the thorns? Have no clue. But I want to sow this seed in the good ground. Yes, so do I. But I don't know. And neither do you. What I do know is that only 1/4 of all those soils get saved. And there's no way to know what soil we are sowing amongst. But there is one thing to know for a fact, that if you don't sow it, they're going to be part of the 67% of the entire world's population that has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ. If you don't sow the seed, they'll never have a chance to receive or reject. That's where it lies in our hands and our responsibility this morning. So I'm going to ask each one of you to take five tracts today. Five tracts from the back. And get them out over the next 7 days. To whom you give them to is your call. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this precious time to be together one with another. And I ask of you, Lord, as we go into our closing song here in mere moments, I pray that you would challenge the hearts of the hearers, Lord God, those who have joined us here today on campus or those who are online. I pray that you would take your precious word, Lord God, and understand clearly to us what we're up against, that Satan himself is trying to remove this seed from the hearts and minds of the soul who would gladly receive it to be saved and born again. Father, I pray today that people would accept the challenge, take the tracts, and over the next 7 days, get those five out so that we may see the seed planted. And wherever it fall, it's not our responsibility, but we pray that God would bring the increase. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen.